I want to introduce a different, a different mini series today, and I want to say that, conflicts in churches, in groups, among Christians has been from a long time. People trying to reinvent the wheel, putting a little bit here, putting a little bit there, pollute the kindness of God, the word of God, and hence the epistles. We have the epistles to correct things from people like the Corinthian church, the churches in the Bible, but we have them today. And it's even worse today because we have internet, we have our phones, we have things bombarding, coming from all places at us. People holding various views. The other day I was in Croydon, and I was sitting opposite a woman who was in distress. And I asked her, but I saw that in between she was praying. I asked her if she was okay. She said, yes. I said, are you a Christian? She said, yes. I said, I will pray for you. Then we started talking. I said, are you preparing for Christmas? Her husband was sitting next to her. She said, no, she doesn't do Christmas. They don't do Christmas. They don't celebrate Christmas. So that's one of that group again, another group again. Okay? So we have all sorts. But now, God wants us to hold on to the truth. There is somebody who doesn't want us to follow the truth, because he knows that if we find out the truth and we follow the truth, we will be free. We will know the truth and we will be free. At times, the attacks from people within the church and outside the church at large is big. Like if I tell you that in the next 3 minutes, your bag, if you carry a bag, or your coat, will fly up to the ceiling and come down, you will think, oh man, that's weird. But if I tell you that in the next 2 minutes, you will actually be touching the ceiling, you will say, no. Even I, that I'm telling you, I know that it's not possible that you can touch the ceiling. I mean this ceiling. I don't mean the ceiling in your house. In case you can touch the ceiling in your house. This one here. You can touch it. If there are big things like that, you can know from a distance that this pastor or this prophet is lying. But there are some subtle ones. Some subtle ones that you don't know. This is water, not so? What is this? Thank you very much. I see you are following. If I pollute it, if I hold it up to you, you say it's still water, not so? You can see. Polluted water and real water, they look alike. Except the pollutant is colorful. If I put in some microorganisms there, you can see it. You see, it looks good. That's the dangerous ones. Some people, through writing of songs, they slip in some things that are not in the Bible. They begin to deplete the completeness of your soul, the peace in your soul. They put in a word, a phrase, that is not biblical. You begin to sing it. And the melody is usually very good. If you're not careful, you are singing it, it's down in there, and it becomes what you believe. So we have to be careful at such a time because of pollution. Pollution is terrible. You can't see it. In Greek, there's a type of pollution we talk about in plants, in soil, that you don't see. You plant this 5 years ago, you have a big yield. 3 years ago, fantastic. And last year you plant, there's no increase. There was rainfall, nothing. There's gradual erosion. You don't see it until you plant and it doesn't grow well. We have to be careful. Hence, in 2017, the Lord spoke to us to talk about authentic Christianity. Authentic Christianity. There's no other Christianity but authentic one. If not, you have a polluted one. Authentic Christianity can be verified anytime through the Word of God. Why do you do this? Or why don't you do this? In my previous church, this is what we used to do. Why don't you do it? We will show you what we do and why we do it. We simply pray and ask God for direction. He directs us, and he has always come with, you know, confirming through various ways that this is how he's leading us. We thought it was only going to be for a season, but the Lord is telling us, continue, continue. And his revelation is very clear to us. But what we notice is that lives in King's Church have been changed. People are saying, wow, I understand this better now. It's clearer to me. And those who listen online, they get back. And we see that more hits, more people listening online. They say, wow, I understand this more now. This is clear. And we always make room for questions to be asked. So, we're going to continue. Look at Amanda came and shared about the word of God. Look at what Apostle Paul told the people of when he was said, writing a letter to the people of Ephesus. He said, now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. That's why we encourage you to read the word for yourself. Ask questions. It's okay, it's not a sin to ask questions. Then we all grow together. Amen? Don't forget what the Lord said. He said, this year, you will bless people. Amen? You will bless people in the church. That is horizontal blessing. But you must maintain vertical connection with God. You will bless people in the church. You will bless people outside the church. The greatest blessing you can give people outside the church is Christ. The good news. Your family. Oh, they will laugh at you. Yes, they should laugh at you because they knew your old life. Okay? They knew you. So they will just look at you. Like I told you, when I gave my life to Christ, when I became a Christian, a classmate said, I heard that you have become a Christian. Maybe the world is coming to an end. I too will give my life to Christ. You know, maybe I was a bad boy. Okay? Yes. And God changed. Started working on me. And we've heard the teaching here. You are saved. You are being saved. And you will be saved. When I prayed, asked Jesus to come into my life, I was saved. But the next day, I had problems. Day after. So I'm being saved. I have to depend on the Holy Spirit and be transformed. Then when the Lord comes, finally, no community charge, no winter, no, I will just be with him in glory. And you will be with him in glory. Amen? So Apostle Paul is praying for them here. I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. So this mini series is God's, you know, authentic Christianity, God's covenant people. God's covenant people. That's the title of this miniseries. We thank God for the way he leads us, and we pray, and we put them together. We are not jumping from Genesis to Revelation, coming back to... No, no, no. When he teaches us something, we go from place of systematically. So we have everything in context. And we thank God for the gift he's given us in King's Church. Those who are trained by God, and they are trained by the education of the land. They know exactly what they are doing, and they can prove it to you. Praise the Lord. God's covenant people. For those who are lawyers here, you know, covenant, because, you know, it's a bit different here from the understanding of contract. A contract, you know, is a result of negotiation between fairly equal people. And then you sign. But a covenant is usually by a superior person and who determines the terms and conditions, whether they, you know, are conditional or unconditional. And as I was praying and preparing this message, I saw that the first covenant, I'm not going to test you, was with Adam. God created Adam and Eve, and he said, you can eat of everything, all these plants, all these animals, but just one This one, don't touch. It didn't stop there. For the day you eat it, you will die. God, who is the spirit of life, if God says you will die, you will die. He created you. It's not saying you'll be wounded. If God says you will die, you will die. God told Adam, eat from everything. What do we have here? You have those who eat meat and vegetable. Some people like only meat. Some people are vegans. Fine. You have not even eaten a millionth of the animals on earth or the plants on earth. It is just that one that God said, don't touch. Talk of stubbornness. Are you stubborn? If you are stubborn, begin to ask God. If you don't follow clear instructions, and they tell you. Even there are people in jail, they put them further into jail. They commit a crime, they serve 25 years, they come out, they do the same thing, they say this is for life. Now life means life. That's a nice way of putting it. Better way of putting it, that you are going to die inside there. We are going to make sure you die properly. Like someone that came to me and said, you are just taking tablets. You are taking about 60 tablets. Knocked on my door long time ago. I said, go straight to the hospital. When they pumped his tummy, it was okay. When he came, I said, next time, if you take those tablets and come to my house, I will make sure you die properly. Before I call them, how come you take tablets and you come to my house? Supposing you die there, I'm under investigation. So he never tried it again. I said, if you are passing a message, you don't come to my house, knock on my door, and put me in trouble, right? I will just settle down, you will die properly before I ring the hospital. Then he never tried it again. God's covenant people. God's new and eternal covenant is in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. God's new and eternal covenant is in Christ Jesus, in whose body is a multi-ethnic family established by God forever. How many heavens do we have? Oh. Thank you. We are going to one heaven. God has made us different heights, different colors, different nations. Right here, we have, in full steam, we have 27 different nations. One God. In Christ, we are one. Praise the Lord. Give him the clap of him. He makes us a family. Jews and Gentiles. Say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So that whoever believes in him, whether you are from Congo, or from Zaire, or from England, or from America, whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So in Christ Jesus, we have this life, wonderful life, and that we glorify his name and live for him. Thank you, Kenny, and thank you, Rhoda. Psalm 91. Full of promises, not so? Don't you see, there's only one thing you have to do. Then the promises are plenty. I receive many messages on my phone. You will be blessed in the morning. You will be blessed in the afternoon. Everything will be, short of you will have a plane. I'll tell you, I don't have a landing pad. I don't have place. They forget the key thing. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Then the blessings start to flow. So all you need to do to make sure you dwell in the shelter. Dwell, remain in the shelter of the Most High. God, that God will bless you. Of course God will bless you. There is, we start it here. There's general grace. Whatever you are, you will believe, the sun will shine. If you are here, you are experiencing winter. If you go out, it will be cold for all of us. But there's specific grace that you get when you are saved. Then the Bible passages that draw close to God and it will draw close to you become applicable. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Because you are in the shelter. The problem man has, you want to be in the shadow of the Almighty, but you don't want to dwell in the shelter. Have you ever tried to deliver a parcel to someone of no fixed address? You can't get him. You can't get her. They have no fixed address. Someone came the other day wanting to deliver a parcel because of the postcode. They are sat now. Maybe it was the old one. They were supposed to deliver it in New Addington. They wanted to deliver it. We said, it's not here. Then they went around and came back again. We said, it's not here. We're not taking another person's parcel. The postcode is wrong. You've got to be in the shelter. Then when you prophesy in the shelter, you can't prophesy enough. If you are in the shelter of the Most High, what is your shopping list? Life, blessings, protection, breakthroughs. You can see anything. And you will get, because you are in the shelter of the Most High, you will rest in the shadow of the Almighty, whose shadow is all around you. How is it that people are able to, they want to take from God and they want to continue to do what they are doing? That was what Adam did. Don't eat from one. Where were you? God, leave Adam alone. What about you right now? What are you holding on to? Unforgiveness. God says forgive. You are holding on to it. Or what is the name? What's the shade? He doesn't want to expose you. He knows and you know. God has planned to bless us. It's not a cliche. Big time. The Lord told Abraham, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. So where you enter, you carry blessings. The Bible says of Joseph, because of Joseph, God blessed the house of Potiphar. Because of Joseph, put in prison, he became even the chief servant. They saw this guy was different. God was with him. What are you hearing that is not making you say, Lord, whatever is in me, forgive me. Remove it. I want to dwell in your shelter. Forget the resting. You are going to rest. Just dwell in the shelter. It's what God says about you. I don't have time to tell you when people have prophesied bad things about me. It won't happen as far as I'm dwelling in the shelter. Don't be afraid of anybody, even of yourself. Just be afraid of God. Dwell in the shelter. Goodness and mercy will follow you. You enter a place and what's that? Goodness and mercy, trying to enter the place before you shut the door. They will follow you because you are dwelling. So concentrate on dwelling and you get all those in Christ. Look at what Apostle Paul says and how he says it. Ephesians 1, we'll be going through the book of Ephesians. This is just an introduction. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. You see that guy is dwelling? That's an apostle, called out one, sent of Christ by the will of God. I didn't send myself. Paul didn't send himself. All there. To God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Apostle Paul is saying here, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God. You can declare now from God, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. They are coming to you. That is settled. That is settled. But you have to be in Christ Jesus. So what are we saying? What do you get in Christ Jesus for the short time I have? What do we get? Because it's either you are in Adam or you are in Christ. You have to ask yourself, where do you belong? How are you standing? Some people say, oh, I'm standing this way. Some are standing this way. Some are standing, but they are not settled. When you have builders, they have plumb line. They don't go along until they put it and they see it's plumb and they continue. Are you plumb? Or are you wonky? Wonkiness doesn't carry it. God has made you in Christ Jesus. You are plumb. So get in there and stay in there. So what are the things we have in Christ Jesus as we begin to round up the healing guest service? In Christ Jesus, we have salvation. Salvation. That's what you get when you come to Him and say, Lord, I believe in you. Forgive me my sins. Wash me clean. Make me the person you want me to be. He gives you the gift of forgiveness and salvation. You are saved by your asking and repenting. Forgive me. And then He says, I will be with you. So you ask for the Holy Spirit to help you to live a clean life. When you fall, you confess. And you don't continue to make a habit of it. Lord, help me. Because we don't know how long we have here. But we know that we are already keyed in into eternity. Praise the Lord. We have deliverance. We have healing. We have help. I have found it to be so. Brothers and sisters, I want to throw this in. It's not in the script. Next week, coming at 10 a.m. Okay? 10 a.m. we start. If not, you will be of no fixed address. We're not going to shut the doors, but we may reorder the service just for next week alone. Okay? So that we may say, at 10 o'clock, we have the message. So if you come late, you're already missing out on the message. We don't want you to miss out. Don't forget, I will look into your eyes next week again. I will say, I told you. Come at 10 a.m. We normally finish in time anyway. Let me just give you some testimonies. At the night vigil, it was incredible. Testimonies of God's goodness. We know there's only one superstar here, and it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the only superstar here. We have testimonies of God's goodness. I'm just going to share three. These three were not shared there. Okay? So you're not losing out. All our meetings are incredible. The prayer meetings. The meeting on Sunday, that's on Friday night vigil. The one before the service. And the churches in homes are private ones. A house of prayer. God has called us to pray. This is actually an all-together service for Christians and non-Christians. That's what we get down Sunday. But we have prayers going on. There's one on my phone. I never like to go on my phone when, you know, I like to print it. I tried to print this one. I didn't know how to get through it from WhatsApp. About 4 years ago, we stayed in a friend's house overnight. In the bedroom we slept in, there was a back boiler. In the morning, I said to them that it's against the law to have a back boiler in the bedroom. Liz and I had headache in the morning, but didn't think any more about it. Recently, we stayed with them again, and we're told that they had the boiler checked after our last visit, and the carbon monoxide was tested, and it was off the scale and was a killer. At this stage, the Lord said to me, I saved you both. I saved both of you. They will have died in their sleep. The boiler was there. The carbon monoxide just kills you. Praise the Lord. Our brothers and sisters, they are alive today. They sent me the WhatsApp, so they are still alive. Praise the Lord. Our sister, Pearl, was a Florence King. We thank God for her. God bless you. Before I read your testimony, let's give you a round of applause. I would like everyone to know how many times Jesus rescued me. I went into hospital to have a minor operation. I should have been in hospital for one day, but the surgeon made an error. The error did not come to light for 2 days. As a result, I went into septic shock. I almost lost my life 2 times. I was lying on the operation table. I was cut open like a chicken. But in my unconscious state, I knew my life was slipping away. I was weak. I did not know they were trying to resuscitate me. I knew my spirit was leaving my body. I was weak. I could not lift up my diaphragm. But I could feel a presence around me. It was warm. It was different to anything I knew. It came to me. It was Jesus. It must have been Jesus. And I said, I know you are here. You promised never to leave me. And I looked on the wall. I saw the half-body silhouette of Jesus Christ, of Jesus. And I said, if you will help me, I will spend the rest of my life serving you. I was in this coma for 11 days. And during that time, I could feel a warm hand under my head. I was comforted because I knew he was there. I know he had not left me when I needed him. I called upon him and he came. The doctors could not believe I made it. They now view me as a masterpiece. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you all for listening. We thank God for Florence. We thank God for God's goodness. God continues to perform his miracles. In a short while, we have prayers. We pray for people. There you see the third testimony. You see that on... That's a car, a new car, accident, with all the airbags. This morning, I was trying to... I turned 10, did a birthday yesterday. There were some balloons. So I popped one. And Fumi came out. She thought it was an explosion. These airbags, they are packed under pressure. See that? Our sister, Elizabeth Davis, was in that a few days ago. Terrible accident. She came out without a scratch. In Christ, there is deliverance. That was a brand new car, rich enough. She was just driving, someone just came. She had one of her clients in the car. Someone just came and hit her. And pushed it into a house. That was the house there. You can see officers trying to clear up. I know the car because it comes here almost every day. But no more. I won't see the car anymore now. But I can see the life, God's goodness, God's protection. And there was a wonderful side to it. There was also a funny side. You know, policemen, they came. It was a day before, it was on Saturday. And they asked her if she had been drinking. She said, yes. They said, what have you been drinking? She said, green tea. She said she had 3 cups of green tea, so they said, bless her, bless her. There's a nice way of saying, you don't understand. What we say, I've been drinking hard stuff. Yes. In Christ, you have deliverance. In Christ. You know how that was 30th? Or 31st? 29th. Oh, imagine how our New Year's service would have been. That is how I worship God. When I see a nearly like that, I say, wow. Wow. But God, those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, whatever anybody tells you, including yourself, that you shouldn't dwell in the shelter, say no. In the shelter, there's safety. If I leave this shelter, I am in the hands of God. I won't leave this shelter. only the Lord will take me from here. In your place of work, in your life, in your situation, dwell in Christ. That's how you dwell. You stay in Christ. You ask questions, you wait, and the Lord will guide you. When people give you prophecies, they are only confirming. They will confirm, I'm a child of God. And you want to give me prophecy, that's fine. You can't tell me I should be in Egypt. I should go to Egypt or go to Syria when God hasn't spoken to me. If God speaks to me and you are telling me God says you should go to Syria, I say, thank you. He told me this is a confirmation. You know your right. Know the blessings of Psalm 91. But keep the first verse solid. Let us pray. Please, for those who have been praying and going to pray for people, please get up and come out while the rest of us bow our heads.